DW Africa Link.
Cameroon's president, Paul Biya, is preparing to run again, extending a rule that's already spanned more than four decades. As a Zimbabwean who knew only Robert Mugabe as president until my early 40s, I know the weight of living under one leader for a lifetime. But what's striking in Cameroon is not just Biya staying in power, it's the silence. Unlike in Kenya, where youth movements are challenging power structures head-on, Cameroon's younger generation seem subdued, disconnected, or maybe even disillusioned. In this episode, we ask, with time running out, can any real political shift emerge, or will Biya outlast them all yet again? That's what's coming up. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from and on Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
At 92, Paul Biya is the world's oldest sitting president, and he's running for re-election. Biya took power in 1982 after Cameroon's first president, Ahmadou Ahidjo, suddenly resigned. He quickly consolidated control, sidelined Ahidjo's supporters, and forced him into exile. In 1990, Biya introduced multi-party politics, then won a disputed election in 1992 with just 40% of the vote. He's won every election since, all tainted by fraud allegations. In 2008, he scrapped term limits with parliament's help, securing immunity after office. Now, as Cameroon prepares for elections this October, two of his longtime allies have defected in quick succession. Could these cracks in Biya's inner circle finally shift the political landscape? Well, joining me for this intriguing discussion is a political analyst, Anchang Paul, and DW correspondent Moki Edwin Kinzeka in Cameroon. I want to start with you, Moki, as our eyes and ears on the ground, just to tell us how Cameroonians feel about President Paul Biya saying he's running again for the next election.
Cameroonians who are supporters of Mr. Paul Biya are actually very happy. But you will see that the majority of those who are actually vocal and supporting the president's decision are senior state functionaries and members of his political party, the CPDM. The young people on the streets are wondering and asking why a man as old as Mr. Biya is being tortured by his collaborators, because they think that at his age, Mr. Biya is old and may be sick and should go back to the village and be resting, where Cameroonians or the leaders who are coming up new can go to tap from his experience, instead of him sitting to lead Cameroon, a duty, a job, which takes almost all of the time of a human being, of a president. The opposition political parties have been complaining and writing messages that are sharing. One is from the United Socialist Democratic Party, where he says he's scandalized, that is Prince Ekoso, by President Paul Biya's decision to run. We have also had other political parties, opposition political parties, complaining that Mr. Biya should have been seen at least in public declaring that he is a candidate, not going to social media outlets and passing information that he will run. Some of them are justifying what they are saying by arguing that they have not been seeing the president in public for a very long time. They say some ministerial positions where you have senior state functionaries who have died have not been replaced, indicating that the president may not be really much aware of what is happening in the country. We're talking about the minister delegate for agriculture who died, he's not been replaced. We're talking about the minister delegate at the Minister of External Relations in charge of relations with the Islamic world who died, he has not been replaced by the president. I'm talking about the Minister of Mines, who died, is not been replaced by the president. I'm talking about the Secretary of State in the Ministry of Health, who died, he has not been replaced. And when you also listen to one of President Biya's close collaborators, that is the Minister Issa Chiruma Bakari, who resigned and said he's going to be a candidate. He resigned from his post of minister, saying he will be a candidate. He's saying that Paul Biya lastly presided over a meeting with them about 14 years ago. You then imagine the reaction they're having. And he is claiming that most of the decisions taken from the presidency of the republic are taken by Biya's collaborators, who sign and say they're taking the instructions under the high instructions of the president of the republic. They are saying they would have loved the president. Cameroon said they voted for Mr. Biya, and then some people who are not voted are deciding for him. So these are the reactions I've been able to gather.
Cameroon has been a free country for six decades, right? And has only also known two presidents, Amadou Baba Touré and now Paul Biya. I want to come to you, Anchang. I don't know your age, but I just want to know how it feels for a man as old as you to have only known maybe one or out of the two presidents for your country.
For me, for myself, I think it's only but normal. We've had independence since 1960. We've had two presidents. But I think also every country has its sovereignty, has its citizens, and has its own scope and political scope and mindset and culture. Cameroon is very diverse, if you might understand that, in the sense that there's no one community that is really a majority community, which means there's a living together and a social cohesion, which means that politically as well, for a political party to be dominant, it has to be a mix of political parties, alliances, and coalition. And that's been the history of Cameroon, even prior to independence. We can go back as far as 1955, the KNDP political party, the UPC political party. So in terms of democracy in Cameroon, it's been longstanding. So the democratic process in Cameroon is actually longer than you would think about the presidents themselves. So if you look only at the president, then you would not be able to anthropologically and historically look at the precedent where the democratic process in Cameroon has begun long time. As for me, particularly, I've seen two presidents. I've seen Amadou Ahidjo. I've seen President Paul Biya. I think the first was much more autocratic in a sense, where there was a little bit more autocratic because we're coming from independence. Of course, maybe there was also a lot of pressure coming out of colonization. But we've seen more in the 90s with President Paul Biya, a resurgence in multi-party democratic politics, just like we saw in the 1990s in Cameroon, which was a major political threshold in Cameroon, where the regime as well, where President Paul Biya had to move away from his own political party, the ideology that is, and say, well, we reintroduce multi-party politics. There you saw the resurgence of the SDF political party and some other major political party and actors. We have moved into a new generation of political actors and political entities, where maybe the only person that is probably seen is still President Paul Biya. But if you look at with the CPDM political parties or the opposition political parties as well, you've seen a rebirth and you've seen a generational change in political leaders. But I also, as a political analyst, would also want to say that sometimes in Cameroon, you have to differentiate between the administrative systematic structure of Cameroon and politics as a whole. Because as a political analyst, I would tell you, political parties and entities and their structuration face many difficulties, technical difficulties.
All right. I do hear you. I do understand what you're saying as a political analyst. But let's just maybe break it down to a normal housing setting, a family setting. A father is there, a mother is there, and the children are there. The father is the head, and everybody looks at the father. They don't look at how the father and the mother discuss in the bedroom on how they're going to run the house. Now, we're talking about Paul Biya, who's 92 years old, and that's the objective of this podcast. And he's been the leader for over 43 years, and he says he wants to run again. I'm happy that, Anchang, you said you've actually experienced both the leaders. Please take us through Paul Biya's presidency from the time he became president and where you think he could have said, you know what, enough, and what now he has done wrong until this day that we are talking about him.
Sure. If you look at 1984, I think when he took over power, President Paul Biya was overwhelmingly very, very popular. I think also people undermine the fact that prior to taking over office, he's someone that at the helm of the political administration, be it administration or politically, has always been present. So his longevity to me is based on the fact that he'd been there prior. So 43 years to me actually is small. It might sound controversial, but he's been there prior. So when you have someone of that stature who has been there prior to independence, with independence, and then post-independence, Therefore, there is a longevity to the process that he understands and he holds. And sometimes when you have that kind of political clout and stature, it is very difficult to be able to move away. So President Paul Biya doesn't necessarily represent an individual. He represents a whole system. So from my own perspective, are we analyzing the political system or are we analyzing President Paul Biya as a person? Because that's really the dilemma in Cameroon, where people have a liking for President Paul Biya, but are asking questions as to the political system, whether it's successful or not successful.
And Chang, okay, so let's talk about the political system itself. Are you telling me that the only face or the only person that they can put there to represent them is Paul Biya, who's now 92 years old? Are there no young people or even not young, but younger people to spear so that at least the family feels like they have a leader in the home?
Sure. I think there are young candidates. I don't want to paint a picture as if he's the only person that has that capacity to lead Cameroon. Of course, that would be wrong and that would be immoral as a politician. I think Cameroon has a myriad of young people that are capable, that can handle at the top level of the country. But now the stakes are different, being that for you to be vetted as a political candidate in Cameroon, you have to go through the political process, which means that you have to be vetted by a political party. I view it more as a generational transition, if you would like to put it that way, where we see a generation of political actors who are vying for candidacy of the presidency, because I don't want to only look at it as President Paul Biya. I also want to look at it from the older political factions who are presenting candidates who are also of a certain age, which is 75 on higher. Now, that poses a political conundrum where you're asking a generational shift of voters who are 60%, who are younger than 40 years old, and asking them to trust fathers. Now, it becomes very difficult for them because they look at what are their choices. Now, I think fundamentally what most Cameroonians see is that they are looking forward more to the legislative elections. I've been saying that for quite a while. The legislative elections in Cameroon would be a translation and a generational change, which will reflect the generational political actors forthcoming for the future of Cameroon.
In what way? In what way?
In the sense that the generational actors who will be voted and the voters who will be voting in this election are quite younger. The actors who they'll be voting for are quite younger. And those who are presenting themselves for the presidential election are very quite older. So this is a transition generational shift for me as a political analyst, because the political actors which are presented for the presidential elections in Cameroon, if you ask most youth, they will tell you they've only seen them on television, whether it be President Paul Biya, whether it be Bello Buba, whether it be Issa Chiroma. These are the major candidates that are being seen as potential presidential candidates. Now, there's a big shift in age between their age group and the 60 to 70% youth in Cameroon that are willing to vote.
Right, right. Now, Moki, coming to you, President Biya in his announcement claims there were, in quotes, numerous and insistent calls from the public that he run for another term. How true is that? Also considering the fact that last month, two of his leading figures in his coalition pulled out and announced they will run against Biya. Honestly, what does the public make of these candidates as well?
Now, one of the people or the group of people that called for Mr. Biya to run again was in the Southwest region, where a group of youths came and said they had contributed over 30 million francs to assist him in his campaign. One begins to wonder how sincere those calls are, those contributions are. Remember that Cameroon lack the basic 1,000 francs per day to live on. They live on below the poverty level. So when you call them out and they have a little bit of money, $10 to take back home, they'll obviously come and stand there and then go back home and continue complaining.
Some of us sitting here will be thinking, oh, what's wrong with these youths selling their souls or selling their vote for a 92-year-old, right? And also considering the two figures that pulled out of the coalition, does this suggest Biya might be losing support from within his own party?
Now, all political parties in Cameroon, I don't want to put it as one. I think there's a lack of structuration, which means that those who communicate for the political party do not communicate on behalf of the candidate or either on behalf of the political party's agenda and vision. They communicate on behalf on their personal interest and sometimes the collateral which is being used are the various youths. So therefore, I see that the two political candidates who were in and they were in an alliance. And mind you, in political science, an alliance is long-term and broad. Now, if you're in alliance with someone for more than 30 years, I mean, there should be consequences which should be drawn. It shouldn't be that at 3 months to a presidential election, you would say there's no longer an alliance and that you'd want to put yourself in line for a presidential election. I find that deceiving because every presidential election takes at least 1 or 2 years of campaigning to be able to introduce an agenda, a vision, and a program, long-term and short-term. Neither have these candidates proposed that. They come up with, I would call it a propaganda measure, which is, I am no longer in an alliance. When you leave from an alliance, what the next agenda you could do maybe is a coalition because it's a short-term coalition, which will allow you to say, well, strategically, we don't yet have a long-term vision, but we are in this coalition with others to be able to see if we can win this election. Now, we are waiting to see, for my part as a political analyst, to see if a possible coalition can be existed within the opposition political actors, because I do not see the political opposition parties with the agenda. I see opposition party leaders with their own agenda who have difficulty coming together for a same agenda. And that leaves a major question mark as to leaving a boulevard for a president that maybe some may say as long-term, some might call it as 92 years old, but is the incumbent in my eyes. So if you are not structured and if your timing is off, you would only leave a boulevard for the incumbent to win the elections.
Right. Moki, you wanted to say something on that?
I do agree with Mr. Achang in a couple of things he has said. But when he says many youths are not interested, we should be asking ourselves why they are not interested. It's because they don't have confidence in the electoral management body in Cameroon, electoral system in Cameroon, which they say is managed single-handedly by the government in place. You would understand that in Cameroon, the officials of election management body are appointed by Mr. Biya. Now, if you are appointed by the president, you obviously give an account to the president. It is difficult for them to go against the person who appointed them. Secondly, what does the electoral code say is that if on the day of election, there's a conflict between, they call it return sheets, if one contains figures that are not in the other, it is the one of the elections management body which will be taken into account. And that is how people complain that they take the return sheets and they manipulate the return sheets and have different results from what is in the field. It makes the young ones not to want to vote. Look at in the 2018 elections, less than 3 million people voted of the about 6 million who registered. And Cameroon has a population of about 30 million. Imagine that only about 6 million registered. This year's elections, Cameroon has about 8.2 million registered voters. 8.2 million. And people are expected that there should be about 13 million or 12 million registered voters. They are not interested because of the way the elections are managed. They accuse the ruling government of wanting to manipulate to stay in place. You are asking about the departure of Issa Chiruma and Buba Bello. Let me tell you something. The way I've observed politics in Cameroon, it will not even affect them. The same day these people left is the same day other political parties, more than a number that left, even came and said they were supporting Mr. Biya. So elections are some sort of business in the country where, you know, people go out, some of them claim they're supporting Biya, they want ministerial positions and so on. And they're not serious. That is why some people are even already quick to say it will be certain that even as his age and people are complaining, the incumbent president is still going to win the election because he is the one who has the resources. He has the only party that can send polling agents to all the 26,000 polling stations in Cameroon. When the others are complaining, okay, went for elections, they were not fair, they were not balanced. They say, do you have a proof? You see that out of the 26,000 polling stations in the country and abroad, the opposition was not even represented in 7,000 polling stations. So it's a problem. The CPDM party has made it that way, and you think they will make it and leave?
In his campaigning, Biya talks about maintaining stability in the country. Are Cameroonians actually concerned about stability right now? And what could a new head of state look like for the average Cameroonian?
If it is stability as a result of the crisis in the northwest and southwest regions, then Cameroonians want that stability. They want peace in their country. If it is stability about the problems in the far north region with Boko Haram, Cameroonians want stability, they want peace. But they especially want economic stability. People are poor, people are wretched, people are suffering. People want jobs. They want to eat. They want food. They don't have it. We have seen reports coming, Cameroon becoming poorer and poorer. The country has taken it about 60, getting to 55, 60% of GDP, but people are not seeing what is really happening. Roads are very bad. Hospitals are not really there, and doctors are leaving the country, rushing to Canada and rest. That is the situation, or that's the stability the people want more, economic stability. To be sincere with you, there may be no changes because it may not be any new head of state. If you look at the electoral systems and so on, you will see that if really Mr. Biya goes as he has planned, he will win. So it will be a continuation of what has been there. He thinks that he may have done good or whatever, but he says the best is yet to come. So maybe Kamuna's will be expecting the best.
Yeah, so you can wait. Yeah, be patient. Now, Anchang, also your parting words. Last year saw several African nations face dramatic power shifts. Botswana is being ruled by a new party for the first time in 58 years. Namibia also elected its first female president. Senegal elected its youngest ever president. What would a transition of power to a new president in Cameroon go over smoothly? And if this is the end of Biya's rule, what would his legacy be?
To me, I think Cameroonians are very pacific. We've had three crises in Cameroon. We've had three major crises. There's been Boko Haram, there's been the Agnofone crisis, there's also been the Bakassi crisis as well. So Cameroonians as a whole are used to political crisis. But what leads in Cameroon is really social cohesion because of the many, we'll call the many different communities, ethnic communities that we have in Cameroon. So sometimes it is very difficult to have a dominant political party in Cameroon if it's not a political party that's been coming from existence from long term, because the CPDM political party, mind you, in Cameroon is a mixture of the KNDP and the UNC party, which means the Anglophone minority and the larger Francophone minority, as normally called in Cameroon. So sometimes anthropologically people forget that. But I think for me, as a political analyst, I see more of the transition which will come more towards the legislative before it will transpire more towards the head of the executive. I think Cameroonians are ready for it, but I think also it's a generational change. Mind you, in Cameroon, the youth are about 60 to 70%. There's also a key factor as well. Most political parties in Cameroon are there represented throughout the national territory. So there's one thing doing politics just on propaganda on television, but you also have to do it on the field. I think in most other countries, what you saw were political leaders and political entities that were able to be represent their candidate throughout the national territory. In Cameroon, I think the transition will come when you would have an effective, maybe say, political leader who would be able to compete with the major CPDM political party and present a candidate that can represent throughout the national territory, not just on media, not just in the diaspora, but in urban and rural areas in Cameroon, in the nooks and crannies where Cameroonians throughout their voting polls will be able to acknowledge that this person, I have seen this person come to my town. I have seen this person in my constituency. Because for the most part, most political actors and leaders in Cameroon focus their actions and their activities in the major towns, whether it be Yaoundé, Douala, Boya, Bamenda, Garoua, but they don't actually enter into the peripheries and into the regions. Most political youth in Cameroon, they will tell you who's your political actor. After the president of the republic, the next person they know is their mayor. So with the advent of decentralization in Cameroon, I think the transition would hinge really on those actors from decentralization, because in Cameroon, there's decentralization and it is slowly growing. So those actors will become those political actors who have legislative mandates will become more and more powerful, and that will gradually be able to see a transition. But I think for my own part, the transition in Cameroon, for me, if you would ask me as a political analyst, that's Project 2032, where you will see an effective democratic change and major political actors who have been learning, maybe they are Cabral Ibis, maybe Joshua Osis, who will be able to manifest themselves really by 2032 or prior.
Anchang Paul, a political analyst, and DW correspondent Melky Edwin Kinzeka in Cameroon, many thanks for joining us. As you've heard in that political discussion, Cameroon's political future remains uncertain, not just because of Paul Biya's stay in office, but because the opposition itself is fragmented and disorganized. Political parties are not operating in a unified or strategic way, and the country's youth, who could be a powerful force for change, often disengage from the electoral process altogether. Now, without coordinated political alternatives or strong civic participation, even high-profile defections may not be enough to shake Biya's grip on power. The question remains: Is change possible in a system where so many have stopped believing in? Food for thought. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a crucial part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. Remember, you can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Eddie Micah Jr. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW, made for minds.